Who's praying for you? I have to give you a quick story. I'll make it real quick. So here, you know, back in the day, I grew up in South Florida, right? Yes. And every Sunday, church started at 8 o'clock sharp, right? Bang. One side of the church, you have the mothers of the church. Then on the other side, you had the deacons. If you were less than 13 years old, all of the young kids had to sit between. If you were a young male, you had to sit with the deacons. If you were a young woman, you sit next to the mothers of the church. That cut down a whole lot of foolishness. And so anyway, before church would start, everybody would come in. The deacons and the mothers, they would all come in and they would get on their knees and they would pray. And boy, would they pray. Us knuckleheaded boys, we had to like be on our knees too. And some, oh, that's why I had bad knees now. And they would pray and they would pray. And if you would recall, back in the 60s and 70s, but especially the 60s, there were really only four football teams that people watched or followed. There were only four. You know, you had Minnesota, New York, the Giants, Packers, not five, Chicago, and then those dreaded Cowboys, dreaded Cowboys. And I was always a Packer fan. And you might remember before there was a Miller Park and all that nonsense, you remember old County Stadium, that when the Packers would have a home game in County Stadium. Well, I'm down there in South Florida, pulling for the Packers. I love them to this day. And everybody in the neighborhood, the game of the week was when the Packers and Dallas were playing. The church was almost empty. Most of the men, except for the deacons and the mothers of the church, you didn't see them. You know, the game would start at high noon or 1 o'clock right in there, and bang, they're gone. And so for those of us kids, you know, we had to stay there for the entire service. And the mothers of the church were the worst ones. Because when they started praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would hit them. And when that would happen, they would be praying for maybe 3 or 4 hours. So we're sitting there, all of us and our cousins, we're sitting there hoping that the mothers never got the Holy Ghost. On this particular Sunday, we would all be praying, please don't let the mothers of the church get the Holy Ghost, because if they do, that means we'll be able to watch the reruns on the 6 o'clock news. Now, the mothers of the church. There's nothing like a praying mother of a church, let me tell you. And they would pray and they would cry and order and they would call on the Lord. And every Sunday, usually one of my aunts would get the Holy Ghost and they would start praying. And they would pray for every child in the congregation. They would call us out one by one, name by name. And us knuckleheads, we're sitting there saying, oh, please don't get the Holy Ghost. And then they'd call us out. And then all of us, it was bad. But little did I know what they were doing. Little did I know until I was many, many years old and realized the power of their prayers. So who's praying for you and who has your back? You know, we do a lot of corporate praying. Yes. And we pray individually. Say yes. And then there is the cross. There is the cross. And so I was thinking, a couple of weeks ago when Eric said, well, can you do a message on this day? I was trying to look forward into what chapter it might be. And it fell right on one of my favorite ones, good old John 17. But I have to just, before I get started, then we'll pray. Before I get started, something about John. And then it said, although the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have different viewpoints, they are quite similar in content and therefore are called the synoptic gospels. John is called the supplemental gospel because it stands uniquely in a class by itself. Yeah, you want to read more? And the book of John is different in many ways. Style, structure, use of personal interviews, lack of parables, and spiritual explanations of events. John and his brother James followed John the Baptist until Jesus called them to follow him. Jesus referred to these two as sons of thunder. But later, John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I love that book. Love this book. So, rock and roll, shall we? Who's praying for you? who's praying for us. Now, I don't want anybody praying for me. I'll be very careful. Now, if you are out there creating chaos and confusion and doing devilish things and then coming to me and say, oh, brother, I'm going to pray for you. I say, please don't. The prayers of a, we read it, the prayers of a what? Righteous person. Righteous person. God ears or attentive to the righteous person. Jeez. And Jesus prayed. First, we get into the priestly prayer. I'm going to highlight a few things as I go through this. When Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted up. I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, Father. Oh, we read a couple of verses. Father, 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 the hour has come. Glorify your son. Glorify your son. Glorify your son that the son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Hold on. And this is eternal life that they, well, and I got this in big bro, that they know you. That would be us, that they know you. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You know, and so I mentioned earlier that over in Psalms 21, I lifted my eyes from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And Jesus himself is praying and making a declaration to the Father. His prayer. And then if I move on. And then over in 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that you had with me before the world existed. You know, if you think about that, before the world existed, that means he was around before earth was formed, before the world existed. So he was already out there, then came to earth. You know, there's some scholars, I guess some biblical people that say, well, was he born? It's kind of confusing. I'm never confused. But no, he was always there. And now he's asking to be glorified upon his return. And then, hold on to your butts. Today's discussion, lecture, commentary, or whatever you want to call it, we're getting ready to rock and roll. Because there's a lot of meat in John 17, but I'm going to highlight and just point out a couple of things that are just near and dear to my heart. And I'm going to say some things that are just, well, you know, they're right. I know I'm right. There is a lot of chaos and confusion in the world. There is a lot of hate going on in the world. Hold that thought. There is. So I'm not too far off balance when I say this. And so jumping over to good old verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours that were, and you gave them to me, and that they kept your word. Now they know that everything that you had given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. That's us, folks. He's praying his disciples. Move on. I am praying for them. Boy, I'm telling you, with all that you know now, if there is one person you want praying for you, if there's anybody you want to have your back, doesn't get any better than this. And so he's praying for his disciples. Because I'll read on. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world. We're in the world. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. It's sort of like, Father, I'm yours. You are mine. They are mine. So therefore, they are yours. Pray for them. Over in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Apostle Paul talking. If you believe, I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for my disciples. And while they were with me, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them, except for one, not one of them is lost except for the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy. Jesus' joy. Now, there are times that we're not very joyful. But for those that believe, you know, you may be down and out just for a little while, but the joy of the Lord will return. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. I'm getting close. And as you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And so Jesus already, he knows what's in the world. We often pray for our loved ones. We often pray for people maybe we don't know, or maybe we pray for circumstances and situations that perhaps good or bad. God knows. Pastor Jerome used to say, God knows. But every now and then, we'll remind him. And so, trials and tribulations. What about me? I got it right here. What about me? Working on your discipleship. In the meantime, as you're working on your discipleship, you're saying, well, what about me? Well. I like chapter 17 of John. But I got a couple of things that I need to nail home today. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, and I got this in bold print, that all of them may be one. Over in Ephesians, one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Here we go again. I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one. And so, in verse 23, I got complete unity, but your Bibles may say one. Bingo. Here is today's discussion. We are not one. Period. Our communities, we're not at one. We're not one. We're not even close. We have fights in the families. No one can get along. No one can agree on anything other than that I'm right, you're wrong, or you're right, I'm wrong. There is no compromise. Where is the love? You know, three times, I got it highlighted three times for the believers. Be one, be in unity. That goes for our families, with our friends, within our communities, within the schools. One. That does not mean that we have to be all lovey-dovey and don't have disagreements. We all have disagreements. But if we are all one body in Christ, if we have the unity and the love of Christ in us, our differences are minor. Minor. Jesus is praying for the believers, all of us that are believers. Believe in me and I'm in you that we are one. And if we do that, it says, if I just come over here, then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. This is Jesus talking here, talking to our Father. He wants unity. You just imagine. At one time, I think we probably experienced some unity from time to time. When do we experience unity? Oh, I don't know. When the country is at war, and we all realize that, you know, the military is a good example of that. Good example of that. You know, we have our little fights and we dig each other. But boy, I'm telling you, for anybody that's not in the armed services, don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. As dysfunctional as we may appear to be, do not be fooled, because all of that dysfunctionality comes in. And when we come together as one, you know, I don't like those. Those Marines, they get on my nerves. They really do. No, they don't. They do. But boy, when someone from outside comes in to want to disrupt, destroy our way of life, if you will, oh no, we are all one. The question becomes, the same thing with a baseball team. You have individual or football team or any team for that matter. I'm sure you have to have teammates that can't get along with one another. But boy, when that game starts, it's all for one and what? One for all. I think we often lose that in our day-to-day lives. We often let other things overshadow the love that Jesus had for not only his disciples, but the love he has for all of us, for those of us that believe in him. Now, there are some that don't. And you may have friends that don't. Do you divorce them? Ah, you're not a believer. Do you? Ah, something to think about. Or do you continue to embrace them? Talk to them, mentor to them. You say something to think about. But that's my message. It's this one unity. We got to get it back, folks. We're moving right along. Oh, you digress, huh? Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father. There's that word righteous, and then there's word righteousness. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that you have sent me and made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Love. Where there is love, there is unity. Where there is love, there is unity. There'll be disagreements. Pots and pans may be thrown at you. Broomsticks, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? There may be some yelling from time to time. But where there is love that encompasses a house or any relationship, there will be unity. There will be disagreements, but unity is always there. We can learn to love one another despite our differences. And the world is coming after us hard. Very hard. Very hard. And so we need the love of Jesus more so now than I can think any time in my lifetime. Jesus is praying for us, and that is essential to our salvation. Who has your back? But you got to be a believer. Who has your back? We are saved eternally by the eternal prayers. This is over in Romans. And advocacy over in 1 John of Jesus in heaven as our high priest. Boy, I'm telling you, when you got the, if the lawyer is the best friend with the judge, you know that's how things work. You know, lawyers cut deals with judges out on the golf course. Yeah? Yeah! Well, gee, you know, let's play golf. You know, my client might be guilty or may not, but you really need to like lessen the sentence or just get rid of it altogether. Yeah. When you have someone in the camp, a spy, if you will. It makes life a lot easier. We have Jesus. Who has your back? Yeah. And I think this is last one. Jesus is praying for us essential salvation over in the Romans, because he prays perfectly on the basis of his perfect sacrifice. I don't think. His perfect sacrifice. And that was my cross. The perfect sacrifice went to the cross on our behalf. What greater sacrifice can you have? And what better person would you want to have in your corner? I pray that he will be in my corner. Could I use a little help? Jesus is the interceptor. While he was here on the earth, he prayed for those who were sick and possessed by demons. He prayed for his disciples. He even prayed for you and me when he interceded for all those who would believe on him. All of us. So you shouldn't feel that, that Jesus doesn't. Yes, he does. He cares. But there is, you got to read the fine print. There is a qualifier. There is a qualifier. Dang. There is a qualifier. Now, this is where it gets kind of, I'm trying to think. How do I do this? Okay. Before I get into communion, let us pray again. Let me pray. Father God, I know, O God, that you are the healer. I know, O God, that by your will, at your appointed times, things will be done, and they will be done according to your will. I love you, my Father, and I pray on this day, O God, that for the people that you have brought in my presence, Lord God, I pray that they will see you in me. I pray, O God, that if I have offended anyone, if I have not shown any love that you would want me to show, please forgive me, O God. I thank you, O God, because you have given me another day to get it right. And as we leave, as we go about our business this week, let us be reminded, O God, how hard you are praying for us and how much you love us. I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name, O God, that as we go about our daily works, our daily chores, that we will be reminded of the ultimate sacrifice and how much you have of our backs. We thank you, O God, for the work you have done in us this far. And I pray, O God, that you will continue to guide our steps. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.